Track 6. Mark enters the intriguing world of Sarah Wingate Gray, who founded a travelling poetry library 20 years ago, and then literally picked it up and toured it, giving performances all around the world and inviting anyone interested to become members of this travelling library.
Hello there, this is Mark. I've come to the home of Sarah Wingate Gray in Norwich, and Sarah, you've got a very interesting story to tell us about a mobile travelling library that you've been running for the last 20 years. It's lovely to see you today, and thank you for your time. You're no stranger to Chatterbox, so welcome to Chatterbox. But if I can start off by asking you, what is this library all about that you started 20 years ago?
Thanks very much, Mark. And yes, welcome, listeners. Hopefully, those of you who are regulars may hear my dulcet tones again. So I run something called the Itinerant Poetry Library, which was actually born in Norwich many, many years ago. In 2002, I actually started a kind of poetry space, you could say, on the Unthank Road, in what was originally a place known as the Frontier Gallery. And it had a library, but it was also a space where poets could come and read, and we did little events. And I guess that's the genesis of the idea. There was a library there, but it wasn't my main focus. And then fast forward a few more years, I was still running it in Norwich, the library, but the venues had had to change, and the location I was at had limited opening hours and wasn't in a great location. So I felt that the accessibility of my library was dimmed, let's say. And I kind of had this brainwave, this kind of light bulb went off in my head, and it went, oh, if people can't come to the library, you're just going to have to bring it to them. And so I quite literally put some books in a rucksack and practiced how many I could fit in and how heavy they were and how much I could carry. And then within pretty much, 30 to 40 days of having this idea, I left Norwich with the rucksack and the books and the library on my back. Thinking, oh, this will be, about 4 months maybe. I'm just going to travel around some of Europe with the library and offer it to different people. And then 4 years later and 14 countries later and, hundreds of different cities, locations later, I was like, what have I invented here? And yeah, I've been doing it to this day. So I was kind of full time for that core period of 2006 to 2010. And then since then, I've kind of been operating part time because the library, as all good public libraries should be, is free. So while I was full time, I didn't have a job. That was my job. I made it my job. And so it was very difficult to kind of live. So people let me stay on their couches. I did genuinely get food off the street and from the bins. And yeah, that was how I lived, a kind of itinerant tramping lifestyle with this library on my back. And I should kind of add, it's also a performance. So it's a live art performance. So I'm in character as the librarian, who's my alter ego, if you like. And some people just want to kind of interact with the performance and they're not so interested in the poetry. Some people don't really care it's a performance. They just want to access that poetry book that's out for the day. But to me, it doesn't matter. It's all things together are important. The whole project's a very holistic project. That's my lifelong vocation, really, I would call it. And the collection itself, as we've said, and the name suggests, it's poetry. But our official acquisition policy is lost and forgotten poetry. And what that typically means is it's lots of works that are kind of out of print or very rare. So we've got an edition, for example, of Charlotte Mew's The Rambling Sailor. And if you want to get a copy of that, you're going to have to go to the British Library's Rare Manuscripts room. And so we've got a copy. And lots of other items, typically pamphlets, the thinner volumes, let's say, typically don't like to accept hardbacks as I've got to carry them. Because although I can carry more than my own body weight in paper-based items, I'm still just a lithe, slim poet myself and don't have too many muscles. So I can carry a lot. I think when I got to Paris, I weighed everything. And then at some point later, I discovered that I was actually carrying more than a US Marine. But I'm certainly not running with all of that amount of books and bags. I'm walking at a snail's pace with 90 plus kilos on my back.
That's an incredible story. And do you have a particular favourite poet?
Good question. I mean, in the library, I would say some of the poets I've got, Sharon Olds is in the library, that's an American poet. I don't have any Marianne Moore because she's very well known and so she doesn't really fit our criteria for acquisition, but she is a favourite kind of poet of mine, and I would say perhaps the librarian, my alter ego, who kind of womans the library when it's open. She does have a cape, just like Marianne Moore enjoyed wearing, although we haven't gone as far as having the tricorn hat. But yeah, there's often a lot of the poetry we've got also is sometimes donated in the different locations we've operated in. So we had some fantastic Hungarian poetry that was donated when we got to Budapest. And we had some great poetry donated to us when we were operating in San Francisco and Washington, D.C. We've got quite a lot of Dutch and German poetry in the library too, because we've been operating in quite a few different locations across both of those countries. In fact, actually, Leipzig, where we operated in 2008 for about a year and a half we were there. They've got 105 library members currently. We've got a kind of a top of the library membership chart, if you will. And I can tell you right now that Rotterdam is number one, with more than 500 members right now in Rotterdam who are members of our library. And then number two is San Francisco, and then number three is London, and then number four is Leipzig. And then Norwich is kind of creeping up there and probably is almost about to get into the top five. But for a long time, Norwich was quite low down the library membership chart. But wherever you sign up to be a member, that makes you a member of that particular location.
And what do people need to sign up?
So it's very easy. You just need to arrive when we're open. Our operating hours are we're open when we're conveniently open and we're closed when we're inconveniently closed. But for example, we were actually open in Norwich a couple of Sundays ago in the Anteros Gallery. And so anyone who arrived then when we were open, they had to fill out a membership card. And then once they'd done that, they handed it back to the librarian, who then assessed the card and the person and just check that they fit within the bye-bye laws of the library, which include things such as you can be banned from our library if you have an offensive hairstyle. So everyone's hairstyle gets checked. And then as long as they pass that, and they also agree not to spit on the librarian, which again is another one of the bye-bye laws, then they become a member. Membership is lifetime and death time, I should say, because we've now actually sadly got some members who are no longer with us in this world, but the next. But once you're a member, you get a copy of those bye-bye laws and your membership card. You get a free haiku when you first join. And that's it. You're then good to go. And should you bump into us anywhere else, anywhere in the world, you've already signed up and are a member and you're good to go.
And one thing I'm particularly keen to ask you about, you talk about we. In actual fact, from what you were telling me, Zara, there's only actually yourself running the
service. That is true, Mark. Yeah, I guess it's not necessarily the royal we; it's the library we. So it's myself as a real physical flesh and blood human who has to carry the books. And in my guise, I call myself the library dog's body, because I have to do all the grunt work, like literally physically carrying kilos and kilos of books across borders and countries. But there's also the librarian, that's my alter ego, so technically that is myself too. And then when we were kind of full-time around the world, we were obviously moving very rapidly, sometimes within 48 hours, to a different country. So we had to sort out where we were staying, how we were getting there, how we were feeding ourselves. So it sounds like there's a whole crew of people. And indeed, when we had a website at the time, we're very analogue, so we don't have one anymore. But we did say things like, you know, we've got a travel operator, a travel agent, we've got an administrator, a couch operator, so on and so forth. But really, those were all just me at the same time.
And did you have to learn other languages?
I would say, ich bin ein typisch monolingualistic English sprechender. So I've got basic German, French, Latin, Spanish, but, you know, I'm pretty skilled in the international language of gesture, which gets you very far when it needs to be. But, you know, as I'm sure listeners are aware, lingua franca of English has got around the place, so typically I'm okay. But we absolutely do collect poetry for our library in other languages. We've got about 20 languages represented right now, including Hungarian, Igbo, the Nigerian dialect, Dutch, Chinese, classical Chinese, Japanese, French, Spanish, Russian, Greek. I could go on, lots and lots of different languages, because the whole point of the project, one of the core points of the project, is about making poetry more accessible. So that obviously, the different languages it's in, that's factored into that. And we're about trying to subvert mainstream channels of distribution. We're physically moving the books around the world by ourselves in our rucksack and setting them out when we have the library. We operate in what you might call atypical library spaces. We aim to reach the parts other libraries have yet to reach. Right. That's included on the top of the fourth plinth in Trafalgar Square, on a boat on a lock in Scotland. We also had the Highland Mobile Library Service lent us their mobile library one day, and that was fun. Always a favourite, one of ours, doing a library in another library, a kind of meta-library version. Yes. Anywhere you can fit a table and chair, and there are people, we'll see you there.
And do you publicise where you're going to be or when you're going to be open?
Yeah, we do a little bit, but part of the project really is it's about that idea of happenstance and serendipity. I'd say that actually more than 50% of new members of our library don't know they're going to join a library the day that they join us and set out. They think they're walking into, so for example, a pizza takeaway joint in San Francisco, and in fact there's a library in there and many, many other, you know, slightly odd atypical locations. But yes, we're about trying to bring poetry to everyone, everywhere and anywhere we can get to.
I'm quite mind struck. It's incredible what you're actually doing here, Zara. It's amazing.
Well, I guess what I realised when doing this project was that I've obviously got a bit of an obsession with libraries, and in particular public libraries. And I actually, you know, quite a few years afterwards, I was going through some old stuff at my mum's, some paper and archives, and I found a library catalogue dated from when I was 9 years old on New Year's Day, and I was cataloguing all the new books I'd been given for Christmas. So clearly there was this kind of, you know, vocation, whatever we want to call it, gift, a privilege, for me it is, to bring and create knowledge for people and to share it in whatever forms. And for me, poetry is a particularly unique form of knowledge that's not necessarily recognised as a kind of a typical knowledge form. But for me, certainly, I think there are great insights that we can find very specifically in poetry. And as Charles Simic says, you know, only poets will be crazy enough to do crazy things. And I say back to Charles Simic, you are right, we are crazy. Only a poet would be crazy enough to carry a library on their back around the world.
Well, on that note, Zara, thank you very much for your time today. And we wish you all the luck with your future endeavours with your travelling library.
Thanks very much, Mark. Hopefully we'll be open in Norwich again soon, as this is kind of currently our HQ, our main base.
Thank you very much, Zara.